We want to look at Peter's denials of Christ tonight, or this afternoon. It's not quite night yet, although it feels like I'm about ready for a nap. Y'all ready for a nap? Wait just a few more minutes and you can go home and get you one. The first few verses there, of course, we looked last week at the arrest in the garden, and we looked at Jesus there with the disciples and the cutting off of the servant's ear of the high priest, servant of the high priest cutting his ear off, and the details surrounding that, and we compared the different gospel accounts of that and looked at how different ones filled in different information to give us the complete picture of things. And the same thing is going to be true regarding what starts in verse 12, which is after they arrest him and take him to the trials. Let me ask you a trick question. And it's okay if we break out of the sermon for just a minute. We'll pretend this next minute's class time instead of sermon time. How many trials did Jesus have? How many trials did Jesus go to? Anybody got any ideas? One, two, a dozen, 57? At least three. It is at least three. In fact, it's double that. He actually had six different trials. And so we're going to look at that next week. We're going to look at the trials. Because it starts there with that first trial. But what we want to focus on today is Peter's denial of him. So, a lot of times with the trials, we kind of lump some of them together. But they're not really quite together. So we'll look at those next week. I'll just give you a little brief, so you can look at it for next week. He went before Annas, who was the high priest. Then he went before Caiaphas, who was the father-in-law of Annas. And then he went before the entire Sanhedrin. And then he went before Pilate. And then he went before Herod. And then he went back before Pilate a second time. So there were actually six different things there. And we'll look at some of those in more detail. And that's where this first one started in verses 12 and 13. But we want to skip down to verse 15. We just want to talk about Peter for a minute. Now, if we remember Peter boasting before the events in the garden, he was bragging about how, "Lord, I'll never deny you no matter what, even if everybody else is offended by you, not me. I'll never give. No way. I would even die for you." And he might have been right about that. Because in the garden, remember we talked last week, Peter was the one who drew the sword. He was ready right then and there to fight and die for Jesus. He was ready. He was good. I'm going to fight to the death to defend my Lord. I think one of the things that we can learn from Peter is sometimes it's easier to die for somebody than it is to live for them. See, Jesus didn't ask Peter to die for him right then. He asked him to live for him. And so Peter had a great deal of difficulty with that. As we think about Peter here then, he followed Jesus after they arrested Jesus and took him. He followed Jesus. John doesn't tell us this, but the other accounts kind of give us an indication. Matthew in particular says he followed afar off. He didn't want to get too close. And also another disciple, which anytime John just mentions some other disciple, he's usually talking about himself. You know how people, I've got this friend who's got this problem. Can you tell me how to help them? They're usually talking about themselves, that kind of thing. Well, that's John. When he talks about himself, there's this other disciple, or the disciple Jesus loved, or he uses these different terms. He's talking about himself. So John also went. Now remember, then what it says next is that disciple was known to the high priest. John apparently was somehow related to the Levites, and he knew he was kind of in that inner circle over on that side of the Jewish world, and so he went in to the courtyard where Jesus was. went right into the courtyard of the high priest because he was known. So they didn't just let anybody come into the high priest's courtyard. So John had some connections there. So John was able to go in. Now Peter was at a distance. Peter didn't get to go in because the high priest didn't know him. He wasn't going to just let anybody come in there. And of course Jesus went in because the soldiers were taking him in because he was the one under arrest. So verse 16 tells us Peter was standing outside at the door. But then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant, the girl that was watching the door, and brought Peter in. Okay. Now, this is where Peter's denials, this verse is what makes Peter's denials so absolutely foolish. And now, not to pick on Peter, because have we ever done foolish things? I can remember, sometimes kids in school, I can remember substitute teaching and sitting in the classroom with the kids and one of them would snatch the pencil off the other one's desk. You know, I'm going to take their pencil and you know, they try to stick it in their bag or in their book or in their desk or in their pocket or something. And I watch them do it. And I said, hey, give them their pencil back. That's not your pencil. That's their pencil. Give it back to them. I didn't take it. Now, I sat there and watched you reach out and grab it and put it in your pocket, and you're going to sit there and tell, I didn't take it. Kids do things like that. Sometimes as adults, we do things almost that foolish. Politicians get away with doing things almost that foolish a lot of times. They go, oh, I didn't do it. It wasn't me. It was somebody else. But this servant girl who came to the door with John and got Peter and brought him in, then that servant girl at the door, you know, John goes to the servant girl and says, hey, one of my buddies is out here. Let him come in. So they go and they get him and they let him come in. And then the servant girl says to Peter, oh, you're also one of this man's disciples, aren't you? Aren't you one of this guy's disciples too? And Peter says, well, I'm not. Now, John just went and got the servant girl and went to the door and got you and let you in, and then you're going to stand there and tell her you're not one of his disciples. Really? Doesn't make sense. But how many times when we're doing something sinful does it ever make sense? If we were doing things that were sensible, we wouldn't be involved in the sin in the first place. So Peter's just following the typical behavior pattern that we all do when we fall into sin. We're doing something foolish. We're being silly. Now here he is, denying for the first time. I'm not. I'm not one of his disciples. Remember, Jesus had said, you're going to deny me three times. Now, this is another one of those places where some people try to scream, oh, the gospel accounts are in conflict, they're not true because they say different things. Because in one case, Jesus had said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. In another place, he said, before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me three times. And so they said, well, see there, you know, here's the problem with the supposed conflict. Obviously, roosters crow at different times. We often think of the morning crowing, where they crow at the sunrise, right? But they also crow, supposedly, according to the information here, they crow in the middle of the night at a certain time as well. And so, when he says this, before the cock crows twice, he's talking about before the morning. Before morning, you're going to deny me. And when he says before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times, he could very well even be specifying, not just before morning, but before that first crowing in the middle of the night, you're going to deny me those three times. So it could be where he's just getting more specific with it in that situation. But at any rate, the fact of the matter is, what he said, that Peter would deny him three times and then the rooster would crow, is absolutely accurate, and that's exactly what happened. So Peter has denied. He says, that wasn't me. Then the servants and the officers made a charcoal fire because it was cold, They're standing around warming themselves, and Peter also was with them standing and warming himself. Why didn't he go in with John? Why didn't he stick with John? Well, we don't know all the answers to that. But he should have stayed with John instead of staying with the enemy. And this again, we talked about a little bit this morning about who our companions and friends are and how that affects us. The choices we make about our companionship. As the New Testament teaches us, evil communications or evil companionship corrupts good manners or good morals. When we hang around with the wrong kind of folks, we do the wrong kind of things. Peter's hanging around with the wrong folks. He should have been staying with those that were loyal to Christ. So we see several things that Peter's doing here that are wrong. It started with what the book of Proverbs teaches us, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. It started back when he said, I'll never deny you. He was showing that pride, that haughty spirit. He was thinking too highly of himself. And in addition to that, he also contradicted Jesus. Jesus told him what he was going to do, and Peter said, oh no. Basically, in other words, no, Jesus, you're wrong. Can you imagine Jesus telling you something and you saying, you're wrong, Jesus? Now, we do that a lot of times with our lives. When Jesus has told us, do it this way, this is the right way to do it, and then we live another way, we live contrary to what he's told us, we're saying, Jesus, you're wrong. I know better than you how I ought to live my life. I'm not going to live it the way you want me to. I'm going to live it the way I want to. We're doing just what Peter did. And so Peter, he had the arrogance, and he contradicted Christ. He rated himself as superior to others. He was judging himself. He's looking at the others. Even if everybody else does, I never would. And that again shows that haughty spirit coming out in him. But he's comparing himself to others. Do you remember what Paul said about that? He said over in Corinthians, if we compare ourselves among ourselves, we're comparing ourselves to each other, we're comparing ourselves to other people, he said, we're not wise. He said, we need to be comparing ourselves to Christ, our perfect example. And when we do that, guess what happens? We all fall way short. And we don't have anything to boast about, anything to be proud about at all. Because we know, well, I'm nobody. I'm not better than them. I need a Savior just as much as they need a Savior. And so that's exactly what Peter was doing, though, was judging himself according to that. I'm better than those people. Whenever we start that, well, I'm better than those people, be careful. You're about to fall flat on your face when you start having that kind of an attitude. That's exactly the thing that Peter's example here shows us. And then, of course, he relied on his own strength. He was depending on, I'll never do this. I will do this. I won't do that. He was counting on his own human strength to carry him through. And we all should know that our human strength is not sufficient to stand against the wiles of Satan. We cannot win in a battle one-on-one with Satan by ourselves. We need supernatural help. We need Christ. We need God on our side. We need, as the psalmist said, we need to hide His Word in our heart so that we won't sin against it. We're going to need that support. We're going to need that help instead of thinking, well, I can do it by myself. And so Peter made that mistake as well in this situation. He didn't realize, even though he was trying to live as a righteous person, he didn't realize as being a righteous person, you're not depending on your own righteousness, you're depending on the righteousness of Christ. You're depending on the strength of Christ to keep you righteous. And so Peter made that kind of a mistake as well. He estimated his own power too much. He didn't recognize Christ's authority and argued with him. He was showing that pride and that arrogance. There were several factors going on here. And then when we get to this point, we see the other problems. He's just kind of like, I'm not one of them. And then he goes and stands with Christ's enemies instead of staying close to Christ. Do we ever make that mistake? Are we more likely to sin when we're close to Christ or when we're farther away from Him? Not a trick question. it's really pretty obvious, isn't it? If we're close to Christ, we're going to be less likely to commit sin. If we keep in mind always, hey, wherever I go, whatever I do, whatever I say, whatever I think, He's right here with me, then we're going to be less likely to get involved in sinful things. As opposed to, well, Jesus is way off up there in heaven, and I'm hanging out here with my buddies, and we're just gossiping and carrying on and, you know, telling stories and lying and, you know, or telling dirty jokes or whatever else it is, and we're just doing our thing. And Jesus isn't anywhere around, so I don't have to worry about it. And that's Peter's problem. He gets over here with the wrong crowd. These folks that he's standing there, the servants and officers, they're not concerned about pleasing Jesus. They're not concerned about being faithful to Jesus. They're the ones that are responsible for Jesus being on trial. They don't have any care or concern for Christ or what Christ wants. And by being part of that group, Peter's showing that he doesn't have as much concern as he should. Now that's not to say that we don't ever try to reach out to people. That's not what we're talking about here. Here we're talking about a moment where Peter was already weak. Now remember another thing that led to it. When Jesus rebuked him for that and told him, "You're going to deny me three times," Peter did not like that. None of us like to be told we're wrong or like to be told that what we're doing is wrong or that we're going to do something wrong. We don't like that. Then in the garden, when Peter pulled out that sword and struck Malchus and cut off his ear, as we learned about last week, Jesus rebuked him again, corrected him a second time, said, "Put your sword up. Don't you know everyone that lives by the sword is going to die by the sword? Put it up. That's not what I'm here for. Are you going to stop me from doing what I came to do and going to the cross? You going to stop that?" No, you don't stop that. And so Peter was rebuked right there again. Now, he still loved Jesus. Have you ever seen children, though? Especially happens with two parents. If one of the parents disciplines the child for something, gets on to that child, or you did this wrong, you know, or gives them a spanking, or whatever it is, and they, you know, they're correcting that child, what's that child usually do? If daddy spanks the child, what's the child going to do? Run to mama. If mama's the one getting on the child, what's going to run to daddy? That doesn't mean they don't still love you. It's just, you know, they're running to try to get comfort from somebody else because you were mean to them just then. Jesus was mean to Peter. At least that's the way Peter saw it. You know, I'm trying to defend you, and you're getting all on me about it like I've done something bad. And so Peter kind of shied away from Jesus because of that. And that's one of the warnings that we're given in Hebrews. Don't despise the Lord's discipline, because the one that is loved by the Lord is the one that He disciplines. And if you're not receiving discipline, then you're an illegitimate child and not one of His sons. And so that same idea needs to be carried out in our lives. Yes, sometimes God's going to discipline us. Do we draw closer to Him, or do we allow that to push us away from Him? In Peter's case, he allowed that to push him away from Jesus, so that he was following afar off instead of being right there close to Jesus. And so because of that, Peter's gotten himself into a situation where he's now hanging out with the wrong people, away from Jesus, and being tempted by Satan. And that's never a good situation to be in. And trying to stand on his own strength and not lean on the strength of Jesus. He's in a bad situation. And it only gets worse. We're going to skip a few more verses now, down to verse 25. We'll come back and pick those other verses up when we talk about the trials next time. Now Peter was standing and warming himself, and so they said to him, "You're also one of his disciples, or you're not also one of his disciples, are you?" And he denied it again and said, "I am not." "No, it wasn't me. It's not me. I don't know that guy." Now this is where it really gets bad then. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off. This is one of the guys who was there in the garden. He's a relative to the guy that, I mean, you know, if you're in a group of people and one guy pulls out a sword and chops off somebody else's ear, now I know if you're in the middle of battle and everybody's sword fighting or shooting or whatever, you know, it's kind of hard to know what's going on. But if there's only one guy pulled out a sword and struck out with it and hurt somebody, most of the folks that are there are going to remember that guy. And Peter was that guy. He was the one who made a scene. And so, he says, hey, didn't I see you with him in the garden? So this guy was there. So first we got the servant girl who, you know, she's already, John's had her get Peter and bring him in. And she said, hey, you must be one of his disciples because his other disciples telling me to bring you in. Oh, no, not me. Then he's standing around the fire and they're like, oh, hey, you're not one of his disciples. Oh, no, not me. And then one of the servants, wait a minute. Didn't I see you in the garden with him? And then Peter does the same kind of thing he denies it again. And at once, the rooster crows. But I want us to think about what some of the other gospel accounts. John's pretty gentle on Peter here. He just said, yeah, Peter again denied it. Some of the other gospel accounts make it much clearer. Peter didn't just deny it. He swore up and down, I've never met the man. I don't know who he is. I don't have anything to do with him. And he began to curse. Because one of the things that one of the other accounts tells is, one of them said, hey, yeah, you know what? The way you're talking is giving you away. It's kind of like, you know, if we go up north somewhere, they're going, you're from down south, aren't you? I can tell by the way you talk. You're not from around here. We hear it. We hear it when folks come from up north and they come down and say, you're not from around here, are you? No, your speech gives you away. And Peter's speech gave him away. Well, he decided to make it clear to him. And so he began to curse and swear. And he just told, no way, I don't know that guy. I don't have anything to do with him. John's a little more gentle. John just says, yeah, Peter denied it again. But the others give some more detail, which is kind of what we were talking about last week, that some give more detailed accounts than others. But here we have Peter again denying, and the rooster crows as soon as he's done that third denial. But think about those things that led Peter to that point where he was willing to deny Jesus three times, even to the point where he's laid down his Christianity and he's cussing like a sailor and he's, you know, he's just swearing up and down, I don't even know who that guy is. I don't have anything to do with him. And he's saying all of those things. In one of the other accounts also it says, Jesus turned and looked at him. So from across the courtyard, Jesus is over there on trial, and here's Peter over here warming himself by the fire. And Peter said, oh, who? No, I don't even know that guy. And Jesus looked at him. Can you imagine? And think about a time where you were involved in some sin in your life. Where you were doing something sinful, you were lying, you were stealing something, you were, you know, whatever it was, you were doing something you shouldn't have been doing, something sinful. How would you have felt if right at the moment you were doing that, Jesus was there and He looked at you? Not just like looked at you, you know, like you're facing the other way and He looked at you from there. But He caught your eye, and you caught His, and He looked right at you. Right in the eye, right as you're doing that sinful thing that He warned you not to do. How would you feel? Well, you can imagine that's how Peter felt. The Bible goes on to describe, after all of these events, that Peter just went out after Jesus looked at him after the cock crowed and he remembered what Jesus had said and that he had just done what he swore he was never going to do. He was never going to deny Christ. No matter what, he'd die for him, and now he's denied him three times. And he went out and he cried. You know, there are a lot of men who say that men don't cry. I'm here to tell you, some of the manliest men in the history of the world, like Jesus, like David, like Peter, these men cried. People like Jeremiah, they wept bitterly over various things that were occurring. In this case, Peter wept bitterly because of his sin. And we need more people who are willing to weep over their sins. But not just, you know, crying about it doesn't really make it any better. Not just weep over their sins, but turn it around and get away from that sin and get back and do what's right. And later on we'll see that that's exactly what Peter does. It's one of the big differences between Peter and Judas. Peter and Judas both felt really bad about what they did and about the suffering that it caused Jesus. Of course, obviously Peter's suffering, the suffering Peter caused Jesus was not the same as the suffering that Judas caused Jesus. Peter wasn't the one responsible for Jesus getting arrested and crucified, but he did deny him. But Judas' reaction was very different. Judas went out and hanged himself. Peter went out and cried about it. And then the rest of what Jesus had prophesied, he said, you know, you're going to fall away, you're going to deny me. And he said, now, all of you are going to have to be sifted like wheat. The chaff's going to get blown away. But then he said to Peter, when you are restored, strengthen your brothers. And so Satan was going to try them all. He's going to put them all through the fire, so to speak. And he knew that Peter was going to fail and deny him. But he said, you're going to deny me, but you're going to be restored. And when you are restored, you strengthen your brothers. That's something, isn't it? That he knew the whole sequence of events that was going to take place. Perhaps you're here tonight and you have some sin in your life that if Jesus were looking right at you right now, you wouldn't be able to look Him in the eye because you know you're not living right. You know that you're denying Him in your actions, no matter what you may be saying with your words. Perhaps you're ready to get that sin out of your life and get back right with God. Perhaps you've learned some lessons from Peter. Maybe you've got some pride in your life and you're afraid, hey, if I don't get rid of this, I'm going to be in that situation Peter was in. I need to get rid of this. I need to get it out of my life. And maybe you need to clean that up. Humble yourself before God before He humbles you or before that pride causes you to fall. Whatever struggle you might have, if you have the needs of the church to pray for you or if you have a need to repent of some sin in your life, please come as we stand and as we sing.